The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this 29th day of August 2018. Harley Schlanger is my guest. We didn't do any commercials the last hour. I want to do a plug here in this opening segment of the second hour for the movie Revelation, Dawn of Global Government. I have had people emailing me and thanking me for making this movie available. And it is spreading. And people are getting the idea that, you know what, I'm going to buy copies of this thing and I'm going to show it to my friends. It ties in the economics. It ties in a lot of different things. But let me give you just a minute and 9 seconds of what a young high school student said after the premiere in Houston, Texas.
I thought it was great. I thought it was very informative, like what we're learning in public school right now about NAFTA and everything. Oh, NAFTA is great. And then, like, listening to the actual movie and, like, learning about how it's, like, destroying our economy in the U.S. in itself, it's not good.
So you go to public school, do you see from what they're teaching you in school versus this movie, is there a difference?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah, like, what they're teaching us in public school is what they want us, like, what the government wants us to be learning about how everything's good and socialism and da-da-da-da is great, but in the real world, it's destroying everything.
So they're actually teaching you to become real socialists?
I would say that. They don't point out the disadvantages of NAFTA and the EU or anything. It's just, hey, it promotes free trade, and it's good. Vote for it.
Oh, my God. That's one of the trouble spots in this country. One of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. Make a free public school system and then use that as a transmission belt for your propaganda. And that's exactly what the public school system has turned into. I've had a lot of emails saying that, well, we're having a problem downloading this movie. Well, you can go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. You have to register to watch the movie, and once you do that, the link will then be active. If you're having any problems with this, on that very same site, contact us. That's meaning the Unterseas. Send them an email. Tell them you're having a problem opening up the movie or downloading the movie, okay? But this is one of a spiritual battle in this country, folks, that is unequaled in our history. And I think that goes really without saying. But at any rate, the movie's there. We'll have it through September 3rd. But you're going to have a long weekend here coming up next week. So take advantage of this. All right. Back with Harley Schlanger. Harley, let me get out ahead of this hour. Let me take this call, and then I want to get back to the Trump swamp sessions, the DOJ, and the whole mess. Daniel in British Columbia. Hello, Daniel.
Oh, hi there, Harley and John. Harley, I love what you're doing. I've been following Lyndon LaRouche for a long time. I want a question answered off the air. there's been a recent JFK file dump from either the FBI or the CIA, but they're always holding back. They always hold back a few of them. And I'm just wondering, what do you think they're holding back, and what do you expect, if any, if there's going to be any surprises that they're trying to hold from us? And thank you, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Thank you, Daniel.
My personal opinion is that any incriminating evidence has been destroyed long ago, and that I don't think there's a whole lot that it is going to give us some insights into what was done leading up to the assassination of President Kennedy. I hate to say it that way, but you know, the people who do these things do everything they can to destroy the paper trail. And that's why I think that in spite of the fact that we do have to fight for transparency and openness, don't expect that these criminals are going to leave a trail behind. So, you know, I think we have to fight for these things to be open and brought out into the public. But, you know, the British Official Secrets Act, which is what a lot of our intelligence agencies model themselves on, made the point that these secrets have to be buried so deeply that anyone who even tries to open them up risks their life. So I'm skeptical that we're going to find much, although I would like to have all of it put out into the public, just as we should put out into the public all the material around the FISA warrants that were used to spy on the Trump campaign and to set up the whole Russiagate story.
Harley, I think the best defense is a good offense.
Exactly.
And while Trump has had problems here with Jeff Sessions, he saw an indicator, I'm going to recuse myself of this investigation, and I'm just going to stand back. I am not political. I go either way. A lot of people look at Jeff Sessions and saying he's the representative of the deep state in the Department of Justice. And then we've got the AG, we got Brownstein in there. We've got a mess. And if Donald Trump does this, well, he'll be perceived as that. And then the press is going to jump all over him. If I've got a Department of Justice, I want Hillary Clinton investigated. I want this thing opened up about the Clinton Foundation. You want a good defense against the swamp in Washington, D.C.? Go on the offense.
John, this is what Lyndon LaRouche has always said, that the way you protect yourself is not by putting a lead shield around your body and live in a bunker. You go out and name the names of the people who are the criminals. Go after them as publicly and openly as possible. Now, Trump does some of that with his tweeting, but tweeting is not governing.
No.
And he's got to take the powers that he does have. And if he can't find an FBI director who will do it, keep looking for someone who will. And the problem you have there is, will Congress actually approve officials? Will they accept the nominees that the president puts forward if he's going to do this?
You know, just to bolster your point here, we have an FBI, a new director of the FBI. I think his name is Ray.
Yeah.
Where has he been? I've seen no public comment from this guy at all.
He's going around supposedly trying to rebuild FBI morale. Well, the best way to do that would be to take people like Peter Strzok and Andrew McCabe and put them before grand juries and end up having them go before trials. You have people in the FBI who hid behind the power of secrecy for many, many years. This is the old J. Edgar Hoover network. And it's the same method. It's different people pushing different policies, but the intent is the same, to silence opposition to the destruction that's being carried out against our constitutional system.
Yeah. I mean, what you said, he was a blackmailing cross-dresser, for gosh sakes.
Yeah.
This is the birth of the FBI. This is who ran. This was a thug. This was a strong-arm artist that had access to just about everything. And people have been asking, Harley, you know, why doesn't Donald Trump just revoke the security clearances that everybody that was under Obama? And they don't understand how beneficial that would be, because no matter who's in there, I don't care if it's a Bill Clinton, I don't care if it's a George Bush Sr. or Jr., a Barack Obama, what is continual in this timeline is the people with the access. Now, supposedly they remain active with their status because from time to time they might be called on. And we don't have time to go through the rigmarole of reinstating their clearances and this, that, and the other. No, this is the continuation of that deep state. And I think
the argument that you just said, that we may need their experience in the future. Mm-hmm. This goes back to the fact that part of what intelligence does is it runs networks that involve what's the so-called human intelligence, that you have operatives, that you recruit people in other countries to be your eyes and ears and to be people who will provide intelligence, and that people like Brennan and Clapper know who all these people are, and therefore they have to be brought in to make sure those sources are protected. Well, that's a lot of bunk. You know, if you want what experience from Brennan would a current intelligence officer want? How to kill people with drones illegally? You know, how to spy on the Senate? How to lie to the Congress? You know, there's no experience here that's worth the future of the country. And there are people in the intelligence community who are chafing at the bit to see someone like Brennan thrown in prison. But as long as Brennan and Clapper and people like Comey are allowed to continue to operate, many of the people who are the more honest officials in the intelligence community are not going to say anything, because they look at what happened to people like Bill Binney from the National Security Agency, who exposed the fraud of these so-called NSA wiretapping and so on. He exposed it, and he ended up being kicked out.
Yeah, okay, but okay. I understand that. There's people fearful of their jobs. But we're not just talking about anybody, CIA, FBI. We're not talking about the person down at the corner drugstore that gave a free Sundae to his girlfriend.
No, we're talking about the president.
No, we're talking about people that are first and foremost Americans. And I don't give a damn what your day job is. Your number one priority as an American is to support our form of Republican form of government or constitutional government. That's priority number one. You do not park that anyplace else. You bring that in with you, with your little nameplate and your little flower on your desk. That is a part of you as being an American. Forget what you're doing to earn your daily bread. The people that want to tell me that, well, they're not speaking out because they've seen what happened to this. Okay, you know what? Go be a greeter at Walmart. We need men of standard and principle, period.
You know, we've seen some of that. For example, a couple of the people who were CIA agents who were involved in trying to defend Benghazi from the Hillary operation, which led to the deaths of four Americans, they're speaking out now about Brennan. They're speaking out saying that Brennan was a big part of what happened to lead to the deaths of Americans in Benghazi. So there are people who are doing that. But what attention do they get from the media? Almost none. And this is where we need to think about, how do we develop an alternative to the mainstream media that actually reaches into communities and mobilizes people? We saw that to some extent when 30 to 40 to 50,000 people showed up at campaign events for Trump during the presidential campaign. I'm hopeful that in the next 60 days leading up to the midterm election, that they're going to try and replicate those kinds of rallies. But I think the problem is that there's too much conflict and too many people ducking for cover to make sure that that happens.
I have been watching the media in the last couple of days, and folks, I am forced to watch them. I do not do it because I enjoy it. I do it because I have to, because these are the deep state fellows that are coming out and informing the American people, but it's more a message to their underlings and their co-conspirators, let's put it that way. And I'm watching this. I've just seen France say that, look, if there's a chemical attack in Iran, we're geared up. We're ready to go after Assad in Iran. I've heard the same thing coming out of certain elements of our own government. Now I read today there are little white hat fellows over there, a white helmets organization.
Yeah,
that they're now running the chemical weapons into Syria right now, and they plan on putting on a stage event in Idlib province. So we've got everything geared up. I've already seen the propaganda on in U.S. media and in foreign media. We're waiting for Assad to use chemical weapons on his own people, which he never did in the first place.
Yeah.
But this is going to be the excuse for going into Iran. Look, we were set to destroy seven countries in the Middle East. We only have, what, one left? And that's Iran. Syria, it could go either way. Vladimir Putin, being the man invited in, United States military has not. And I'm watching this scenario all for the greater Israel. Israel's great land grab. I watched $200 million being cut out of aid. The people that really need it in the open-air internment camp that we call the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. But yet we give Israel $36 billion in which to buy more munitions and more stuff to kill whoever they don't like.
And that's what we know about publicly. There's more aid and more support going to Israel than that. But, you know, you mentioned this question of what's happening in Syria. This is why the Trump meeting with Putin became the red line for the Brennans and others, that they had to smear Trump, smear Putin, do everything they could to prevent these two guys from talking. Because one of the things that happened at that meeting is that they talked about areas where they had agreements. And these included how to go back to the policies of eliminating the danger of an arms race, which is one of the things that Trump said he was going to do. And instead of addressing what they actually talked about, coordinating measures against terrorism in Syria, instead of letting that process take place, what do we hear? Trump is in Putin's pocket. Trump was despicable. Trump was a traitor, as Brennan said. Tantamount to treason to talk with Putin. Now, one of the things that Putin brought up with Trump was people like Bill Browder, the swindler, who is part of these Anglo-Zionist financial networks, who went in and took hundreds of millions of dollars stolen from Russians during the 90s, who then, when Putin's police and financial operatives cracked down on Browder, Browder made up a story about his so-called lawyer, who is not a lawyer, Magnitsky, and Browder was brought in to get the sanction policy against Russia, which they continue to increase. Now, everyone in, I know this for a fact, John, the congressmen who praise Browder know that he's a liar. Why do they praise him? Because they support the policies that he's calling for, namely sanctions against Russia, right, arms buildup, NATO troops on the border of Russia. And so they allow a liar to have complete access to the media and the Congress because it fits with their worldview.
The issue on Brennan calling, and I'll just ask you a straight-out question. What is the punishment for treason in this country?
It's the death penalty.
Okay. John Brennan
issued a death threat against Trump.
That's exactly what he did. And people are sitting here so verklempt. They just don't know what to do because, well, John Brennan says that Trump is a traitor. He's in collusion with Russia. Here is a man calling, and I can see this no other way, because Mr. Brennan is fully aware of treason and what that means. Here's a man that just basically said, we need to kill the president. He's a traitor to our country, when in fact it is him himself that is a traitor and has turned his back on the American people and the Republican form of government we're supposed to have. This guy is nothing but a third-rate thug. But again, he's the sock puppet. He's the actor that's being supported. The deep state is way deeper, folks. Let's take this break. We're talking with Harley Schlanger today. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream.
We're back. Harley, unless we get a little crazy like the song says, we're not going to make it. I see the big push. I know the globalists. I've asked the question over the years. If the globalists realize they're losing, what measures will they take? How crazy are they going to get? I know you've considered this. You're seeing the turmoil here, and you're viewing it from afar. You're not enmeshed in this, living it day by day here in this country. Where do you think...
I can see the same process underway in Europe, because the transatlantic system, or the transatlantic region, is based on primarily a financial system which is unsustainable. And they're trying to sustain it with smoke and mirrors and thievery and swindles. And the problem is that a whole section of the world is no longer going along with it. I mean, just as an example, the fact that Russia is dumping their treasury bills and buying gold has caused enormous panic on Wall Street. Because it's clear that all the efforts to get Russia to stick to the system is not going to work. That's why there's such hostility against Putin. Similarly, with all the problems people have with China, and there are some problems that exist in China, no question about it, but the Chinese are moving toward a different model, which includes possibly the rejection of a dollar-based system. They're going to start trading using yuan for oil and natural gas trading. There's a move away from the speculative derivative bubble that dominates all the talk of finance. Now, this is something you and I have talked about before, John, the importance of understanding the difference between a system which invests in physical production, which necessarily takes the well-being of the population as its primary concern. Because if you're going to increase productivity, you have to increase education. You have to be able to provide people with a better standard of living. And that's the tradition of the American system. But if you're just a swindler who's out to grab every piece of loot that you can by trading financial paper that's worthless, but stealing from people what is of value, then you have to uneducate people or destroy their ability to know the difference between physical production and thievery. And so the system is breaking down. That's why they're so desperate, because there's an alternative that's appearing. It's not a perfect alternative, but it is coherent with what I know about the laws of physical economy, which I've learned from Lyndon LaRouche. You cannot keep expanding debt, as anybody who is sensible knows, without producing something behind it. In fact, the only way to eliminate debt ultimately is a combination of financial reorganization, which means canceling mountains of debt, and the part of the money system that's necessary to provide for people's living, you have to back up with something real, whether it's gold, physical production, or a basket of currencies. And we're seeing a move in that direction. So these guys, the financial establishment, is being driven to insanity by their inability to keep the system going.
Well, but there's also – okay, so here's where the conflict in my thinking comes in. The United States had to be destroyed. The United States was the linchpin in the globalist plan to unify this world under their auspices, their direction.
Under banker's dictatorship, essentially.
Exactly. So we have a scenario that they've been operating, the corporation has been operating illegally in this country for 105 years, which, by the way, any fiat system has never been able to do. And they were able to do this because, well, their ability to go in there and convince the government, well, you need to borrow to bail this out and do that. You know, we went through that scenario as well. But I'm looking at the grand plans of the federal government. They've got to come up with another $3 trillion by 2020. The only way that they're going to get that $3 trillion is by what? More borrowing, which carries the interest, more debt. This is not going to ever stop. People are wondering, why don't we have enough money for our community? Why are our roads and bridges so bad? All the states are underwater. All the money that the investment into the stock market and other entities, whether it be bonds or whatever the case may be, that stuff went belly up back in 2008.
And let's look at the consequences of that. The United States is having a lowering of its life expectancy, whereas poor countries in Africa, China and others, are increasing longevity. We're seeing the longevity of Americans declining. Why is that? Because of this looting process. We're seeing a growth of poverty in this country and an increase in a sense of desperation and hopelessness. Now, this is where Trump or whoever is going to be a leader in this country has to start addressing the real fears and concerns of the American people. Because people know they're suffering. They know there's something wrong, but they don't know what's causing it, and they don't know what to do about it. And I think, John, this is, instead of people trying to figure out, can we prove by connectos that Trump is no good or that the system is no good, we know the system's no good. We know Trump is imperfect. But what do we do as citizens, as individuals? What is our responsibility? And it's to learn as much as we can about how this system has been turned against the American people and to give the American people the confidence that our system of government can function, provided it's run by the people as a sovereign entity, as opposed by private corporations and private banks.
I don't know who's more crooked, the State Department or the Department of Justice. Let's go to Eric in Tennessee. We have skipped this bottom of the hour break. I only took the last one because Johnny had to go potty. A lot of coffee today. Eric in Tennessee, go ahead.
Hey, John, how are you and Harley tonight?
Good. What's on your mind, Eric?
I just want to talk a little bit about Trump. I was in the hotel business when I was young, and I opened three or four hotels basically from ground up. And Trump is a builder. He doesn't start with something small. It takes several years to even put a shovel in the ground before you start to build a hotel. And then it takes that much more time to actually open it and make it run smoothly.
Right.
So I'm confident that Trump is doing the right thing for the people.
Well, yeah.
I guess that's...
I'm sorry, Eric, what?
No, I think Trump is he's trying to build, but he can't do it too fast because you build a system or a country over a period of time. This country's been so destroyed over the last 50, 60, 100 years that it'll take him time to rebuild it.
Eric, did you hear my
analogy? I would like to.
Yeah. Did you hear my analogy here with Donald Trump's the new CEO that's sitting in the president's office right now? He's the head of the executive branch. But you're the new CEO. You go in, you got a bunch of employees that don't like you. How do you think?
Well, you don't clean them out immediately. It's from a business standpoint. You keep the ones around you. You need to keep things going properly, and then you start to weed them out as you go along. And it's a period of time.
Well, would you agree with my statement that the best defense is a good offense?
Yes.
Okay. In my book, and the political pundits be damned, Jeff Sessions would not be loading up his briefcase to go to work tomorrow. He would be relieved of his duties.
Is he not sitting back as an opossum and waiting to drop the bomb, so to speak?
I don't know. I don't know, Harley.
I don't know. He seems to have trouble keeping his eyes open most of the time.
Are you, Harley, I wanted to ask you about this. So you've heard about the 45,000 sealed indictments.
Well... Yeah. You know, the number keeps growing, and until they start getting unsealed, I'm not going to believe in it.
Yeah, and I'm not either. And a lot of this is coming out of QAnon.
Yeah.
I think
this is an intelligence operation designed to make the American people passive, thinking that there's some group of good guys in there who are carrying out a master plan. And I don't buy it. Because, for one thing, I've heard it before. Before there was QAnon, there was a whole group of people who were saying this was going to be done to Bush. The whole period of Obama's presidency, we were told that there was a guy named Ulsterman who was supposedly an insider who was ferreting out all the corruption around Obama. Look, the guy served two terms and he's still walking free. This isn't going to happen without a full-scale rebellion by the American people. And we saw the first act of that in November 2016. I don't think the anger of a large number of Americans has subsided. I don't think most Americans think we've won the war. I think that's what we're hearing from a lot of your callers, is the frustration that the war is not being carried out effectively enough. So, again, what's the message here? We've got to do everything we can to prevent a Democratic takeover in November 2018.
Yeah.
Because if there is a Democratic takeover, they're going to go for impeachment.
Well, I mean, and it's no accident. I mean, look, there was a lot of shocked people. You cannot – these people in the media, I watched their reactions when the final votes were coming in. I was watching other people's reactions. This was a major surprise. You could not coordinate a stage play if you tried. We had 8 years of Obama, and we know who his mentors were. Good communists all, good comrades that they were. And then the follow-up to this coup was supposed to be Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
And this is what I'm saying, that if you look at what happened from 2015 to the present, you start with Brexit. they never thought the people of the United Kingdom would vote to go out of the European Union. And the elite, the controllers of the Tory party and the Labour party in England, are still trying to sabotage the vote that took place then, because that was a rebellion against what limited sovereignty existed in England being stripped away from them by the European Union.
And all, if you look at
Italy, no one thought that the Northern League, which was a small separatist movement initially, would become the government of Italy. Look at the Kurz government in Austria that is now pushing against the EU efforts to have banking reform, which is essentially to let the banks, the big banks in Europe, steal the depositors' savings. That's what the European Union is trying to do. So there are rebellions all over the place, and the problem is we don't have a coordinated response. The closest thing we've had to that was Trump's decision to meet with Xi Jinping, to meet with Putin, to find out what these other governments think about what he's thinking about. And this is what was attacked by Russiagate in particular. And if people don't wrap their mind around that and understand that Russiagate was created by people who want to continue the Bush and Obama administrations on steroids, the regime change wars, the looting, the stealing, the swindling. That's what it's all about. And the fact that Trump represented a threat to that is why they've conducted such a scorched earth policy of trying to destroy an elected president.
Eric, anything else?
No, John, I think I'm done. Other than the cryptos, look into them, and if you take them, I will buy them all from you for cash.
Yeah, you've been telling me that for months, and I've seen nothing yet.
Well, you haven't put a receive Bitcoin address up on your website. So if you put it up there, I'll send the cash to you, and you can send me Bitcoin.
Mike?
What a deal, huh?
He's doing it. He's doing it right now.
I'll send it to you right now if you...
Well, no, he's just now, he's, Eric, he's just now putting it up. Give it a day.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Put it up, and I will donate my Bitcoin, and if you want to exchange it for cash, I'll give you cash, and I'll take Bitcoin.
Whatever.
Have a great night, John.
I don't want the Bitcoin. The cash is negotiable still. Thank you, Eric. John in Missouri. Hello, John.
Hello. If the other countries are buying gold, Russia and all, is that a good idea for the American people?
Well, not under this regime, not under the control of the Federal Reserve, because they'll just take the gold away from you. I mean, the solution is not that simple. These other governments are doing it to protect themselves from financial warfare from London and Wall Street. What we have to do is destroy London and Wall Street. We have to get our government.
I'm just a little guy out here in Missouri.
Well, we're all
destroyed
little guys.
Any countries.
You know, the
I'm not good at country destroying.
Yeah, but we all think of ourselves as little guys who are victims. And one of the best ways to defeat people is to get them to be convinced they're victims who are looking for sympathy, as opposed to people who will stand up and fight for their rights.
I'll do all that, but in the meantime, you don't think it's wise for people to have gold and silver?
I think these markets are so manipulated that, you know, I've seen this, and John, you've seen it also. People who think the solution is to protect themselves by buying gold or silver or platinum, and then all of a sudden the bottom's pulled out of the market. The markets are set not because of supply and demand, but because of the Rothschild position in London that determines the value of these raw materials.
The difference being, though, when we're talking about Russia buying gold or any other country, it is the governments that are buying the gold for their financial security, not the individuals.
Yeah.
And that is the difference. And eventually, this system, it cannot last much longer. They can keep throwing more debt-laden money at it. They can keep doing that, but eventually that is going to stop. I'm looking at gold and silver today. There's no inducement for the generally dumb public out there. They're looking at the overinflated and bloated stock market. Oh, maybe I can still get in, maybe do some things there. The problem is the knowledge base of the American people. I would still tell people buy gold and silver. If you've got the wherewithal to do it, this suppression of the markets cannot last. Yeah. And how is the government going to take it if they don't know where it's at? We're not talking about putting the stuff in a safety deposit box. We learned that lesson back in the late 20s, early 30s.
Right.
Well, I would go a step further, John, because, yes, people have to do things to protect themselves. But ultimately, the only protection is to make sure that you don't have thieves running the government. As long as there are thieves with guns running the government, you're not protected.
That's why we still have our guns.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your call. Chuck, you said you had just one question. Go ahead, Chuck.
I really do have one right now.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you. What?
All right, let me change off of this Bluetooth. Boss, I've listened to you for years. I've donated a lot. But I want to ask one question. When will everyone quit making excuses for Trump?
Okay. Chuck, here we go again. You know, I'd much rather do a half a bottle of Four Roses in a bar and argue with you ad nauseum until one of us threw up. Did you not hear what I just said? I'm not making excuses for Trump. We are running through the scenario of a guy that took a job with a country that's already been flushed down the toilet, and you're telling me that no, Trump is the problem. Trump is the plant. Trump is this. Trump is that.
Show me where I'm wrong.
God almighty.
The first thing is you're not listening to what we're saying because we're not making excuses.
Hold on, Chuck.
You've asked your question. Let the man answer it.
We're saying that Trump has to do things differently. He's not doing what he should do. But the problem is not with Trump. The problem is, can we get enough people moving in this country so that the president can do what he wants to do? And that's not to say that he doesn't have a responsibility. He does. But the problem is you've got a system that's crashing, that's coming down on our heads, that most Americans are invested in. Most Americans believe won't crash. Most Americans have illusions. They think one strong man can solve the problem, and it never will happen that way.
You know, I just got a veiled threat there. I've supported your network. I've sent you a lot of money, and I'm tired of you covering for Trump. Ralph, you're an idiot. Or, I'm sorry, Chuck. You're not listening to what we're saying. You want a definitive answer on Trump. I don't have one. Harley Schlanger does not have one. His friends that know Trump personally don't know. And any time that you say anything positive about Donald Trump, why are you making excuses for this man? You know, Chuck, I'm glad that you were never a talk show host on this network. I know you wanted to be. And I'm very grateful for your support. But you're going to keep abusing me and this subject ad nauseum forever and ever. Amen. And I'm not going to do it. I have said in the past, and I have posted stories, and I've read these stories, and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what the people that listen to this network are going to think about this. And it's negative on Trump. Or it's something that Trump has done that's not exactly how you and I would do it. Chuck, we're in a hell of a pickle here. We're in a hell of a position. You keep hammering and you keep hammering and you keep hammering. I pulled him down, Harley, and he was still talking. He didn't want to listen. He wanted to reinforce his point. Why do you keep defending Trump? Okay, Chuck, why are you still beating your wife? Okay, let's try that one on you.
Well, John, let's flip this over to the positive side. We actually are in a better position to take back the country than we've been in maybe since the 1960s, because the enemy is weak and exposed. They don't have any new ideas or new solutions. They can only go negative. And to that extent, they're in a desperate situation, more desperate probably than we are. The problem is they have their hands on things that give them power, and we don't. But a mobilization can turn things around. Look, what happened in Italy, the reason I bring this up is there's a young man who's a friend of mine who's part of the government in Italy. And I interviewed him on another program not too long ago. And I said, what's your message to America? And he said, things can change overnight. And I think this is something that people who are cynical don't believe and don't want to believe, because to make things change, you have to change. We as Americans have to change. What you and I are talking about, John, about the dumb assumptions that most Americans have that enable them to be manipulated, if we just laugh and say, why are we so silly that we think that people like John Brennan have so much power? Brennan is a certifiable lunatic. I mean, maybe not prison. He should probably be in an insane asylum. But we don't have the resources yet or the power yet to put him there. So let's do what we can to get that power so that we can clean out the swamp. And so I think the important thing that someone like Chuck doesn't want to believe is that there was a change in November 2016. It hasn't been sustained. And it's Trump's fault and it's our fault. And it's especially the fault of the criminals who control the country.
On a personal note here, I don't think that people like Chuck even give a damn about myself or this network. This has been wearing on me, and it's worn me down to the quick. It's getting to the point where are you listening here, Chuck? I don't even want to do programming anymore. Are you hearing me? You're wearing me out. I've already told you that we're dumping everything on Trump's shoulders. This is not the doings of the past president, all the problems that we have in this country right now. This has been a slow rolling takedown of this country. I have said to you, you're from Missouri. What has the Missouri legislature been doing? We are 50 sovereign countries. They call them states. Yes, brought under the umbrella by the Fed, and there are certain things the Fed's supposed to do and certain things that they're not supposed to do. Yeah, they've been coloring outside the lines for years. But I am to the point where I'm being held responsible for just about everything, for things going awry. And when I say something, why do you guys keep making excuses for Trump? Why don't you just go shoot the guy, Chuck? Why don't you be tomorrow's hero? Why don't you go try to kill Donald Trump? If that's what you want, I don't know what you want, but I'm telling you, you're making it damned hard for me to try to do a job that I've been doing for 26 years. Are you reading me, sir? Do you hear me?
And John, you know, the important point is that people who say things like that are making excuses for their own inactivity. They're basically saying nothing can be done, so I'm not going to be bothered. And very often people who think that way still have something to lose, and they're holding on to what they have, even though they see the erosion, the ground going out from underneath their feet.
I understand how people have – look, I've given up everything of value that I have. I own nothing. The only thing I've got is debt. And I'm going to keep trying, but I'm telling you listeners out there, and I'm telling you as clearly as I possibly can, I am flat worn out. I am aggravated. I am angry. And you guys keep shoving this crap, and it's not doing anybody any good. I'm telling you, it's wearing on the listeners. I'm watching numbers on this network actually go down for the first time in 15 years. Keep it up, boys. Just keep it up. I'll see you on the funeral pyre with my last breath. I'll tell you where the hell to go.
And this is where we talk about the existence of trolls, that there actually are people who call in the stations to
deliver. Well, I don't want to do that with this guy or make the suggestion he is. He's just bullheaded is what he is. And he doesn't know, and he doesn't know enough to even care.
Yeah.
Jeff in Georgia, you're up next. Hello, Jeff.
Yes, this is a great program. And John, you're on the front lines. And I'm back. I'm with you 100%. And I'm no troll. I have independent views, but I like Trump. And your guest said something earlier about a banking, what term did you use? It's like a, you know, we have an international banking cartel.
Yeah, all banker's nations, dictatorship.
A banker's dictatorship. You want to defeat a banker's dictatorship, you cancel the debt.
Exactly.
If the debt was fraudulently given, cancel it. Just try to save the middle class. If every billionaire in the world lost 99% of their wealth, for every $1 billion they have, they'd still have $10 million. Cancel the debt.
Yeah. No.
Fractional banking is fraudulent. And John, when you call for cancellation of the debt, you might have people start listening to your network. It might be like a magnet, because that will be the revolution. We have to have a revolution.
Well, I've called for the
nonviolent.
Look, I've called for the cancellation of the entire Federal Reserve. I've asked for that audit. That's not going to take place because the government is now claiming that it has no business to audit an independent company. But they've got to be careful because they don't want to call it the corporation it really is.
Yeah.
And they don't want to go. Hold on, Harley. They don't want to go down this road of point counterpoint because important verifiable information might be let out of the bag. If the American people really understood, if the Sean Hannitys and the Rush Limbaughs with their millions of listeners would take one of their programs and cover the Federal Reserve in its illegality and unconstitutionality and the net effect that dealing with these clowns have had, we might have enough pissed off people out there to do something. But it ain't happening.
Well, but one, if you cancel the one of the reasons. Reserve,
go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, then you have the Bank of England. You've got the International Monetary Fund. You've got the World Bank. They all got to be canceled. They all use fraudulent fractional banking. And I'll tell you, the guest said something about, you know, these people have more power today than they ever did. But we went 14 rounds with them. They haven't knocked us out.
No.
We can still knock them out. We can knock them out in the last round.
And they're more vulnerable than ever because of the debt. Look, in 1982, LaRouche wrote a paper about which became known as the debt bomb paper, in which he told Mexico at the time that if they wanted fair treatment, they should cancel the debt.
Yeah.
And this is something that we've been fighting for 40 years. The debt is the weapon that's used to destroy countries and destroy people. But what is debt? It's pieces of paper that are only recognized because of the power of the state behind them. If we can shift that so that, you know, even a country like Greece or Italy could bring down the financial system by canceling the debt. Because if one country with a lot of debt did it, why would anyone else pay the debt?
Let me squeeze in this last caller here from Australia. Hello, Jerry.
Howdy, John. Howdy, Holly.
You don't
I
sound.
Wanted to say,
you don't sound Australian to me.
Well, no, I don't, mate. And that's a pretty bad Australian accent, too. Well, I've been down here for 10 years now.
Okay.
I want to say real quick to Holly. Holly, you hit the nail right on the head. That's what I love about your analysis. You know what I call it in our country today? We suffer from Joan of Arc syndrome. We vote for somebody and we say, go get him, Joan. Call me when things turn around. And it happens all the time. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, Harley, is do you see what's going on in Germany now being the turning point, and do you see a grand coalition developing between the Visegrad Four, Italy, Bulgaria, Austria, and all these other countries that are getting ready to boot the PU? And with that, I'll have to let you gentlemen go. Thank you so much, John. You guys are wonderful. If I was a millionaire, you'd have the dough, buddy. I wish I could do it.
Well, I'll tell you, Jerry, there are some millionaires out there that do listen to this show, and I've not gotten a check yet. And right now, I'm double-backed.
Well, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, I'm double-backed up on bills at my house, at the network. And one day, Jerry, people are going to tune into the network, and it just won't be there. Maybe they think that I'm kidding. Maybe I'm just overamping the situation to make sure we get enough cushion of cash in which to operate. No, I've done all that I've done all that's humanly possible to do, and I can do no more.
Well, John, calls like that, where you have a caller who actually is knowledgeable, that's some of the work that you've done, that your network has contributed to raising the level of thinking of people who listen. What he said about the Visegrad 4, Italy, Austria,
right,
that's about to happen. The key thing is Germany. And in Germany right now, the small and medium enterprises, which are the motor of the German economic miracle in the 50s and 60s, they are starting to step forward and say, we don't want any more European Union. We don't want the euro.
Harley, we're running out of time, and I'm not going to be able to close the show down if you've got a diatribe going on there. I've got one more caller I want to squeeze in, Richard in North Carolina. You got about a minute and a half, and that's it.
Hello, Mr. Ted Miller. I'll try to be really quick. I'm just an old forensic neuropsychologist who's retired, but I've been tracking things ever since I was a student at Kent State in 1970, and was there when I was in the crowd when the students were shot, and I've become kind of a watcher of what's been happening for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say really quickly is that I really appreciate what you do. Don't leave RBN. This is one of my mainstays.
Richard, you being a clinical psychologist, then you understand this.
I
am going batshit crazy here because I don't have enough money to pay for the services that we need to pay for. I've stripped everything down to the bone. I've gotten rid of everything that I have. The only thing I've got is debt. What I need is the support of this listening audience. And that's it.
Well, can I? What would I do to be able to donate to you specifically? I did donate to RBN $100 about 3 months ago, and then I've been trying to figure out how to continue to do that on Social Security, but I can do it. And I'd rather support you and Mike Rivero.
Well, it's very simple. If you've got internet, just go to our page, republicbroadcasting.org. Donate button at the top. That'll take you to the PayPal site. You don't have to be a member of PayPal in order to do it. Enter your information if you want to do it on a monthly basis or a one-time donation. It makes the delineation there. You can do it that way.
I'll take care of it.
All right. Well, Richard, I would greatly appreciate it. We need everybody's help right now.
You'll get what I can.
All right, sir. I can ask for no more. All I ask is for people's best efforts. That's all that I ask. And, Richard, thank you. Now, there's a pretty smart guy, a neuropsychiatrist. Wow, or a psychologist? I don't even know exactly what that means. Harley, we're out of time here. Parting shot.
Just keep the fight going, John. They always say that it's darkest before the dawn, but I think we're about to see a dawn of a new awakening worldwide.
Buddy, it's been so dark for so long, if somebody struck a match a quarter mile away, it'd blind me. All right. Hey, I appreciate you coming on. Enjoy your time here in the States. We'll be in touch. And I really do want to schedule out so it's not so hair-pulling for you or myself. And I don't want to get you that late into the night. I know the sacrifice that you are making yourself.
Well, we can work it out.
Alrighty, sir. I appreciate your time very much, and I value you because we had, what, one commercial break during this last 2 hours. Wow.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. And, folks, seriously, I'm not going to get all slathery and screamy here. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you the condition that we're in. I just dropped into taking a look at our condition. Our condition is in. I'm backed up 2 months, personally and with this network. That's my message. Support us. Give us the ammunition to fight another day.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovice.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.